Any decade that includes the Cuban Missile Crisis, the musical British Invasion, the Vietnam War, and Woodstock already garners a lot of interest for historical reasons. Then there's the fact that many of us have our own memories of the 1960s, though some of those might be a bit blurry for a variety of reasons. The Southern Oregon Historical Society proposes to sharpen the focus in an upcoming display called Far Out, Southern Oregon in the 1960s. It's being assembled now and will open in late March. Two guests with us from the Historical Society. Amy Drake is the curator of special projects at Southern Oregon Historical Society. Thanks for joining us again, Amy.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Good to have you here. And Carolyn Kingsnorth is with us as well, one of the board members at the Historical Society. Carolyn, thank you for joining us.
I'm delighted to be here.
So, obviously, given the interest in the 60s generally, and particularly nostalgia among baby boomers, et cetera, it's an obvious target, but what was the real genesis of this, Amy? What was the decision? Who finally pulled the trigger and said, let's do it as 60s display?
Oh, our director, Rob Esterline, pulled the trigger. He was trying to decide between doing an exhibit about the 1920s and the 1960s, and just the 1960s was just calling our name. It seemed like it would be a fun way to showcase objects in our collection that we haven't put on an exhibit before, and it seemed like it would be fun and relevant. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of people who have memories of the 60s, but there are a lot of issues from the 60s that are relevant today. So it seemed like a no-brainer.
Where will the display be? Because at this point, the Historical Society, after several lean years, is a little short on display space.
Right. It will be in the historic Woolworth Building in downtown Medford. So actually, kitty corner from the Research Library. It's at the intersection of Central and 6th Street.
All right. So interesting. So the Historical Research Library occupies the old JCPenney building.
Yes.
And then diagonally across that same intersection, the old Woolworth building.
Mm-hmm.
How did that arrangement come about?
The owner for the building donated the space. So.
Carolyn Kingsnorth, it sounds like you were a fairly big operator on getting this display together. Tell us about your involvement and how things have snowballed a bit along the way.
Well, Amy and our curator, Tina Russo, get the credit for getting the display together. But it's something that just has so much appeal. You talk to someone about the 60s, and they almost always have some concept of it. They were a sea change for American culture. So older people lived it. Younger people have heard about it. Everyone still loves the music. And so what began as the Historical Society exhibit, it's really morphed into a month-long happening with multiple events, activities, programs. Everybody sort of jumped on it. We have, at this point, all of the libraries are participating. They're going to have exhibits in all of them. There will be book displays of 60s books. They're going to do 60s poetry readings. There will be 60s film series. The Extension Service is involved. They're going to be participating and pulling together some of the displays for us. The Kids' Time, which shares the building at JCPenney, they're going to do a tie-dyeing event.
No, that's the Eagle Point High School Multicultural Club.
Oh, the Eagle Point. Oh, sorry. I thought it was going to be Kids' Time that was doing that one.
But tie-dyeing one way or the other.
Tie-dyeing. Yes. Well, Criterion is getting involved because they're going to have hair showing in April.
Really?
They have a touring company coming through performing hair, and so they're going to hang images from the 60s, probably entertainment and downtown Medford related, in the Berryman Gallery upstairs. Britt is on board. We're trying to figure out what they're going to do. So everyone is like, oh yeah, this sounds great. We're trying to organize a cruise night. We're trying to organize a 60s car show. So
we're trying to get the local restaurants in Medford to be involved too, like Spoons and Capers.
Capers, yes. Mm-hmm. So this just, everyone says, yeah, the Storytelling Guild is going to be part of it. The Railroad Museum, they actually have two guys who were engineers in the 60s who are going to talk about that experience. And with the two Sundays, the Railroad Park is open. So just more people say, yeah, how can we make this work?
We can really, there's a whole bunch of experiences about the 60s. You're cramming a lot into this month, but is it going to go beyond, it's just the month of April, right?
Just the month of April.
So it actually opens late March, is that right?
March 29th to mm-hmm. April 27th.
And open, aside from all the other events, just the display itself at the Woolworth Building, open what days, what hours?
It's
I don't have it memorized.
For the display?
For the exhibit.
For the exhibit, it's open 9 to 4.
On average, Tuesday through Sunday.
It's open late until 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I think it's 12 to 4.
All right. So all kinds of fun stuff to be had at the Woolworth Building.
And it's closed on Monday, yeah.
Closed on Monday. All right. Let me invite our listeners to join us because everybody seems to love talking about the 1960s. You can hear by the enthusiasm generated just by getting the 60s display up at the Southern Oregon Historical Society. Share your memories of the 60s or suggest things that might actually best represent the 1960s if you were looking to represent them for this region. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Brian in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We have Amy Drake and Carolyn Kingsnorth with us.
Well, hi. Thanks for letting me on the show. Yeah, it's going to be a nice exhibit. There's a certain nostalgia about the 60s. Everybody remembers the groovy part, you know. But I would suggest people take a look. There's a book by Susan Jacoby in 2008 called The Age of American Unreason. And she documents pretty well, apart from the fraction of the people involved in the hippie movement and the social unrest, there was also the genesis of the American New Right Wing. They were not asleep at the switch. In fact, you could probably argue that the Reagan Revolution got started in the 60s as part of the pushback. It wasn't, this stuff is not didn't come out of nowhere. In the 60s is where it got started. I recommend you read the book. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Brian. Interesting point that I have heard before as well, that the Reagan Revolution, et cetera, from 1980 on was in large ways, and the fact that a lot of the conservative movement is seen as a reaction to the 1960s, where people saw things getting totally out of control and said, this is not going to happen like this.
Well, some of it was you had all of these civil rights movements starting. You had, was very prominent, obviously, the Black, the African-American civil rights movement. But women's libs started then.
The sexual revolution, LGBT rights.
Gay rights. Mm-hmm. They all started in the 60s. So it was again, this sea change, watershed. I don't know how you call it. We have not had an era like it since.
No, but he brings up a good point as well, when you get beyond the Beach Boys and the Beatles and the tie-dye and all the other stuff, you do have the Vietnam War. You do have fighting in the streets. You do have people getting their heads bashed by the police in Selma, Alabama, for example. So a lot of things in that decade as well, which raises the question then for you, Amy, is as you're trying to curate something like this and put together displays that indicate the 60s, warts and all. I mean, you have to pick and choose fairly carefully, don't you?
You do. We do have a section focusing on civil rights in Southern Oregon, which the Eagle Point High School Multicultural Club, who I mentioned before, actually did most of the research for and wrote the labels for, which I'm really excited about. So we do talk about civil rights here. So that's sort of the warts of the 60s that you mentioned. We talk a little bit about protests and the protests in Southern Oregon and the Vietnam War, too.
Yeah,
not just the fun stuff.
Right,
no.
Okay.
In fact, it appears that the Jackson County Commissioners will be proclaiming April Southern Oregon in the 1960s month at their March 12th meeting. At least it's on the agenda. So, but when I was at their study session, that question did come up. In fact, Doug Breedenthal said, wasn't this an anti-government movement? And the truth was, it wasn't really anti-government as much as it was anti-war, because I don't really know anyone who's particularly pro-war. And the question was asked, so how are we going to bring that into the exhibit? And what I told him, I think it's very important that the Vietnam War, what the veterans went through, be acknowledged. We're not going to laud it, but it has to be acknowledged, because that was one of the issues. When they came home, they were not acknowledged. And we still have some repercussions from some of the other undeclared wars that we've been in as well, some of that same experience. So it's just looking at all the mix. It was a time of turmoil. It was a time of fun things. It was a time of very serious change. So
when you bring up the soldiers coming home, though, from the Vietnam War, some of them were acknowledged, and not in ways that they found particularly complimentary.
Exactly.
I've talked to people who came home in their uniforms and were greeted at the airport with tomatoes being thrown at them and things like that. So, definitely a time of upheaval in American society. Let me invite our listeners to join us again, because you may have particularly vivid memories of the 1960s and things that you want people to remember about that decade. Maybe that could be represented through this exhibit coming to the Southern Oregon Historical Society. It is called Far Out Southern Oregon in the 1960s and opens in late March. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. when we talk, and you mentioned the county commissioner who thought perhaps the whole movement, the peace movement, was an anti-government movement. It was certainly anti-establishment was the bigger deal.
Yes.
People in all positions of power, from, you know, university presidents to local people, were seen as suspect.
Yeah. Well, he says, I wasn't born until 1970, so it's not something he had experienced, just more a perception that he had. And for many of us also, even who lived through it, we may have been isolated, we may have been insulated from a lot of what was going on for the last part of the 60s. In fact, I was at college in Virginia. I was in a woman's college in ivory, what we called our ivy brick tower, or an ivory brick tower. You can have your choice there. But
Ivy-covered ivory tower.
There you go. But I remember the week after Kent State, we staged a demonstration at the woman's college. We demonstrated to be allowed to wear pants to class. So, you know, so you have this whole gamut of what people actually experienced during the period, how involved they were, and what their memories are.
Which raises the question, Amy, for you as a person who looks like she's not even crossed 30 yet, what it must be like to try to deal with this as a historical thing, particularly when you've got lots of people looking over your shoulders who do remember the 1960s and saying, not quite like that.
It's been a really fun challenge to try to balance people's memories and nostalgia for the 60s with interpreting our ideas of the 60s today and how the history and events of the 60s have are still either relevant today or how they've affected events today. It's been a really fun challenge trying to pull that together, because sometimes people talk about their nostalgia, they talk about these great experiences they had, and they're great, but how is that going to apply to someone who is my age? How is that going to apply to someone who didn't live in Southern Oregon at the time, but who lives here now? How is that going to apply to someone who's visiting Southern Oregon and happens to see the exhibit? How it's been really fun trying to pull all of that together and make an exhibit that's relevant and engaging to everyone.
I do remember reading a news story in the mid-80s about a group of students that tried to recreate the peace sign from the 1960s, you know, the circle with the with the bars in it, and they missed one bar, and they ended up making a Mercedes-Benz sign instead.
So,
these are some of the pitfalls of trying to recreate an era that you didn't live in.
Well, you know, and people, we all have selective memories. Some of our car buffs, you know, they recall dragging the gut and cruising from Cubbies to Jacks to Sully's and back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just, part of it was, what was your experience of it?
Absolutely. So, Amy, what items do you have in storage that really help tell the story of the 60s, specifically in the Rogue Valley?
We have some great objects, actually. Part of the story we're telling is about air pollution in the Rogue Valley, which is clearly relevant today. We have two smudge pots, and you put them next to each other, and you can see this smudge pot is from the earlier part of the 60s, and it just... You can see from looking at it that it basically just released soot and smoke into the air. The smudge pot next to it has a filtering system, not to eliminate, but to decrease some of the soot and smoke released into the air. So next to each other, you can see how air pollution is an issue. People are talking about it. People are acting on it during the 60s. What else do we have? We are being loaned a Vietnam vet uniform and the original draft letter that the vet received.
I wonder if anybody's got any draft cards out there that are at least slightly singed, because that was a big deal in the 1960s, was to burn your draft card.
We're going to have, there's going to be a video from the 64 flood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's another short video from drive-in movies.
Right, we have... Mm-hmm.
Was that what we got from...
Yes, yeah. It is. We have some great civil defense supplies, actually. We have carbohydrate biscuits and candy, and the water's gone, but we have drinking water containers that were put in fallout shelters that were built in, I believe it was Medford City Hall.
Because we thought there was going to be nuclear war.
Oh, yeah.
Be ready for it, sure.
We have a civil defense hat.
And we have the blueprints for the bomb shelter they were going to build.
They may or may not have built in the Hedrick Middle School.
Yes. So, in fact, one of the things... That Tina found in the archives the other day, should we mention it? She found a bong. So
that might not necessarily be from the 1960s, but can represent the period. We'll take a couple more minutes with Amy Drake and Carolyn Kingsnorth as we talk about the 1960s and how they'll be represented in a display coming at the Southern Oregon Historical Society to the Woolworth Building in Medford. The display is called Far Out, Southern Oregon in the 1960s, opening in late March and continuing through the month of April. Join us here on the Jefferson Exchange with your own memories of the 1960s, your own suggestions about how best to represent the things that you think are essential to talk talk about the 1960s. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Are you, in fact, then, Amy, seeking some items for the collection? Are there things that people might have in their own possession that would help you?
Well, we're always looking for objects for the collection. But for the exhibit specifically, if anyone has objects that are related to the Back to the Earth movement, to communes, that would be particularly helpful. Or right now to pop culture in Southern Oregon. So
I'm looking for toys for some of the display cases. Yeah.
Or the space race, actually. There are a lot of great toys and things that were produced that were related to the space race. Like for the exhibit, we have a vacuum that is designed to look, it looks like a planet. Like it's clearly influenced by the space race and everyone's fascination with it. But there's a lot of great things about the space race that were produced that we don't have in our collection. So that would be an example of what we're looking for.
Space food sticks. Tang.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, Tang. We should have a bottle of Tang there.
Jetsons.
I'm surprised you didn't find a jar of Tang from one of the collections from the fallout shelters.
True.
Sorts of things you'd need to get by. We talked about the flood a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. And you did talk about air pollution. Were there some other signature events that were peculiar just to Jackson County that need to be represented here as well?
Oh, you had the building of I-5.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of a big
one,
sure.
Yeah, it's a huge one.
We mentioned cruising. Mm-hmm. The racial climate here was very interesting at the time. We counted, there were 9 blacks in Jackson County?
There were 8 in the beginning of the decade and 31 at the end of the decade recorded in the census.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, almost a quadrupling, but very small numbers for sure.
You had migrant worker issues because of all the orchards. What are some of the other things? We had
The Brit Festival was founded.
That's right. Brit mm-hmm. was founded.
Mm-hmm. Mount Ashland was founded.
The Storytelling Guild was founded. In fact, we're going to have some items from them on display. Just a lot of things were started during that period. That was, I live over in Jacksonville. That was when Jacksonville was saved from having the highway put through the middle of it and 11 historic homes destroyed. That was essentially the beginning of Jacksonville as it is now.
And was that when the downtown was declared a historic district?
Absolutely, National Historic Landmark District. That's when the Jacksonville Boosters Club was founded as part in response to that. So there was just a lot of things that started during that era.
Did some of the strife, some of the anti-war protests, the counter protests, et cetera, did a lot of that skip Jackson County? Was Jackson County a little bit insulated from that whole world?
I mean, Jackson County is still a little insulated, but it did. There were protests here. We have great photographs of a protest. I believe it's April. It's 66 or 67. But it's a protest at Alba Park in downtown Medford. And there's students in front of there's students in the park holding up signs. I forget what they say, but they're anti-government. They're anti-war.
I saw some that said, bring our troops home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you're trying to create something like this, in addition mm-hmm. to going through the artifacts in your collection and trying to brainstorm and what were some of the other ends, I mean, do you actually go to the point of going to the back microfilm records of the newspaper and that sort of thing, perusing day by day, week by week?
We have copies of the Mail Tribs photos mm-hmm. from the 60s, so we've been combing through that. Just combing through it extensively. We've been referencing back to the newspaper. Earlier in 2013, one of our assistants, Donna Curler, created a survey about the 1960s in Southern Oregon. And so we've been going through the responses and using people's responses to try to influence how we represent the 60s. So in talking about protests, actually, she included a question like, do you remember protests in Southern Oregon? And it's fascinating to see how people responded, because some are like, yeah, there were protests all the time. I was in this one. I was in that one. And other people responded by saying, no, there weren't any protests at all. I don't remember anything.
Really? So just depending on what you were doing and who you were with, it made a big difference. Let's take a call here from Ann in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the 1960s with Amy Drake and Carolyn Kingsnorth from the Southern Oregon Historical Society.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I was a musician for the Shakespeare Festival at 2 years, 1966-67. And what amazes me is that there was a production of Othello in 1966 done in blackface. This could pertain to the civil rights situation locally, or just the affected that was produced that year. And it didn't strike me as strange at the time. Now it strikes me as very strange.
All right. That's something else to look for. Thanks for that, for sharing that memory, Anne. So that's interesting to know that in the middle of the civil rights movement, there was a blackface performance of Othello at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Go ahead.
Oh, there. Just to riff off that, OSF, I believe it was 1962, they had their second black actor, Adolf Caesar. I don't have the exact story, but he was not welcome in Ashland. Like, he had to have people escort him around Ashland because people weren't welcoming of him. And also in 1962, the Ashland High School put on a minstrel show in blackface. So we have the newspaper article from the Ashland High School's newspaper advertising the show.
It's like the layers of an onion. You just keep peeling through and finding more and more and more. For Carolyn Kingsnorth, does this represent a return to form, a return to public acknowledgement of the Southern Oregon Historical Society? It's been a rough couple of years with budget cuts.
Well, you know, I think people are not aware of a lot that the Southern Oregon Historical Society is doing. This is the first big exhibit that they've had the space to do. But there's so many other programs that they're running. Hanley Farm, we've got a farm-to-table program. We're doing family nurturing centers. Activities. So we're trying to get more of this out to the community.
All right. SOHS.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And Far Out Southern Oregon 1960s opens in late March at the Woolworth Building in Medford. Amy Drake and Carolyn Kingsnorth, thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break. Garrison Keillor, when we come back.